Hi, Sander. How are you? No, don't answer that.
Just wonderful.
All right. This is an interesting topic because I don't know how many people will acknowledge that this is so, but what are some mistakes firms make with hiring?
There's a lot of them. There's a piece out of Business Management Daily on it, and I've added a lot more to it. They have they put down six, but I have a lot more to discuss if we have the time to do it. So here are some of the things that they discuss. Okay, so you know, obviously, too many organizations repeatedly hire people who are in the bottom 50% the minute they walk through the door. So you want to stop the madness? All right. So here's some ideas. Okay. The ideas come from a gentleman called Mel Kleinman, who was one of the leading authorities on hiring in North America. So, one, the candidate comes in empty-handed. A bulging briefcase is not required here, but any job candidate serious about working for your firm will at least bring a pen, a portfolio containing a legal pad, of course, right, and some extra resumes would be better in case the recruiter needs them. But beware of the job seeker who comes in with his hands in his or her pockets. Such an ill-equipped person will either likely take his job half-heartedly or really doesn't care if he gets in the first place. And of course, we know many millennials have not been taught the right skills. Two, candidate complains about anything. Listen to the subtle gripes. Quote, where do you people park around here? The traffic getting here was horrible. What? No Starbucks in this area? While petty bellyaching on the surface doesn't seem like much, don't mistake it for conversation starters. You probably have a person that will perpetually find fault with his or her job and everything else in the workplace. So good job candidates avoid negativity during the interview. All right, next. Candidate asks for direction to your workplace. Caution, this candidate is not a problem solver. Hire her or him and you may end up having to give detailed instructions on all assigned tasks. This is not a self-starter. Besides, there is too much technology out there for anyone to be able to map a route to your door. Okay. Number four, candidate uses vulgarity. No way. If anyone feels he or she can drop the F-bomb or other crusty words with impunity during a job interview, imagine what would come rolling off their tongues in front of coworkers, or customers or clients. This candidate has a scant sense of decorum, so stay clear. No way do you want to hire someone like this. And here's another, ugh. Candidate checks his or her smartphone during the interview. I've seen this. You know, people can't drive, stand in a line or work down the street without running their thumbs all over their phones. Good candidates will resist checking their emails on their phone during the interview. It shows respect for you, the company and job sought, of course, not that all other employees don't poke away at their phones or on company time, but such behavior during this initial crucial meeting tells you there's something more important to this person getting the job. Oh, no way would you ever hire this. And six, according to Business Management, candidate asks about the interview. So, quote, how long do you think this will take? Well, your best answer is, we're done now. Goodbye. So let me add some other stuff to this whole interviewing and people you don't want to hire. Dress. How do they look? I mean, shave? Clothing? Men and women. I mean, what do they look like? Do you want to hire a slob who hair is not combed, doesn't shave. References. Let's talk about references. Don't ever go by references that they give you. Go to the references they don't give you. Go to the former boss. Go to the supervisor. Go to people within the firm, but don't use references of their buddies that they give you. Never do that, okay? Go to other things to really check them out. And finally, costs. Don't focus on costs. Many companies I know, focus on the budget and let the other great candidates go. Terrible mistake. It's always return on investment. If you have to pay a couple of thousand dollars more for a better candidate, do it. You'll get the return from them. But, you know, all has been written about this. The focus on costs and budget and human resources. People are told, don't go above the budget. Not a good idea. It's always about best people. You always get a return on the best people. Never focus just on cost. So those are a couple of other things from S. Flaum.
From S. Flaum and experience. I have been, in the last months, I have been asked to give some references. And it just amazes me because to get to the point where someone actually calls, you have to fill out an email survey that will, quote, only take 25 minutes.
Yes.
Guess what? You're not getting that. I don't have 25 minutes to fill out a survey for someone.
Right.
You want to know if that person is worth hiring? You'd best get your on the phone.
Right.
And once, and this is, you know, this is the way we do it now. I have these huge fights with this is the way we do it now. And in the end, if the person makes it through, I just won't. If a person calls me, two different people have said, I know I got the job because of your reference. Because once I actually talk to the person who's supposed to, you know, who's hiring the person, I'd say, like, yes, this is the good news. This is the other news. But this is how you operate that. And so if you're looking for XYZ, which it sounds as though you are, then you've got, you know, then this is the right guy for you.
Exactly right.
And that is the purpose of a reference. And I'm just baffled, but I'm also seeing this. Trust what someone writes on in a form in other areas. And I don't know whether you've encountered this recently, but another friend has written a book, and you know, many people are seeking her out for interviews from reputable papers. And you know what they say? They say, I would love to interview you for such and such. Would you fill out the attached questions and email them back?
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, you can write anything.
Right.
And I don't see why one of the biggest tools in, I mean, if you don't staff properly, the ship sinks before it leaves port.
Right. So one of the questions too, Jill, that I ask my folks, if I call your ex-boss and ask her, tell me what the biggest mistakes she made and the biggest positives of her, tell me about that. So I always ask him, what will she say to me about your biggest faults, mistakes, and the positives about you? You tell me what she will say. And they look back. Give me a minute to think about that, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a good one. What would your ex-boss say your biggest fault is and your biggest plus is, you know? That's another good question that human resources should be asking, or the interviewer should be asking the interviewee.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people don't know I'm not talking now about interviewers, but a lot of interviewees don't know that it's actually on them to, what is it? You've got one chance to make a first impression.
Yes.
And you know, if you don't want the job, that's one thing. But if you do, then it's probably helpful to make an effort.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's a little bit about interviewing skills for our listeners, okay? What to avoid during the interview process.
Yeah, this is probably politically incorrect, but I want to go here for a second. Appearance, people do notice. And if you you do have a beard, unless it's a religious, you want to keep it trim. You don't want to appear unkempt. And I'm not sure how many people even know that word anymore, but it's really critical because you are representing the place that you are working for.
Exactly. Well said, Jill. Well said.
All right. Well, as ever. Thank you very much, S. Flaum, Leader's Edge.
We'll talk soon. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.